I haven't done this in a while, so I thought maybe. I'm still reading Magicians. I didn't get very far, so. I hope this is where I last laughed. I don't really know anymore. He didn't laugh. Quentin would appreciate that later. Upstate? Quentin said. What, like Vassar? I saw you come through, young man said. Come on, you need to go up to the house. He snapped a cigarette and set off across the wide lawn. He didn't look back to see if Quentin was following, which at first Quentin didn't. But then a sudden fear of being left alone in this place got him moving, and he trotted to catch up. A green was enormous, the size of a half a dozen football fields. It seems to take forever to get across it. The sun beat on the back of the Quentin neck. So, what's your name? Young man asked, in a tone that made sure that Quentin knew that he had no interest in the answer. Quentin. Charming. From? Brooklyn. How old? 17. I'm Elliot. Don't tell me anything else. I don't want to know. I don't want to get attached. Quentin had to take a couple of double time steps to keep up with Elliot. There was something off about Elliot's face. His posture was very straight, but his mouth was twisted to one side in a permanent half-grin grimace that revealed a nest of teeth sticking both in and out at improbable angles. He looked like a child who had been slightly misdelivered, with some subpar forceps handling by the attending. But despite his odd appearance, Elliot had an air of effortless self-possession that made Quentin urgently want to be his friend. Or maybe just be him, period. He was obviously one of those people who felt at home in the world. He was not naturally buoyant, where Quentin felt like he had to dog paddle constantly, exhaustingly, humiliatingly, just to get one sip of air. So what is this place? Quentin asked. Do you live here? You mean here at Breakville's? He said airily. Yes, I guess I do. They had reached the far side of the grass, if you can call it living. Elliot led Quentin through a gap in the tall hedge and into a leafy, shadowy labyrinth. The bushes had been trimmed precisely into narrow branching fractally ramifying corridors that periodically opened out into a small shady alcoves and courtyards. The shrubbery was so dense that no light penetrated through it, but here and there a heavy yellow stripe of sun fell across the path from above. They passed a plashing fountain. Something here. A somber, rain-ravaged white stone statue there. It was a good 5 minutes before they stepped out of the maze, through an opening flanked by two towering topiary bears, reared up on their hind legs into a stone terrace in the shadow of the large house Quentin had seen from distance. A breeze made one of the tall, leafy bears seemed to turn his head slightly in his direction. The dean will probably be down to get you in another minute, Elliot said. Here's my advice. Sit here. He pointed to a stone bench, like he was telling an overly affectionate dog to stay, and try to look like you belong here. And if you tell him you saw me smoking, I will banish you to the lowest circle of hell. I've never been here. Been there. But if even half of what I hear is true, it's almost as bad as Brooklyn. Elliot disappeared back into a hedge maze, and Quentin sat down obediently on the bench. He stared down between his shiny black interview shoes at the gray stone tiles, his backpack, and his overcoat in his lap. Oh, this is impossible, he thought lucidly. This is impossible, he thought lucidly. He thought the words in his mind, but they got no purchase on the world around him. He felt like he was having a not unpleasant drug experience. The tiles were intricately carved with a pattern of twiny vines and possibly elaborately calligraphic words that had been worn into illegibility. Little motes and seeds drifted around in the sunlight. If this is a hallucination, he thought, it's pretty damn high res. The silence was the strangest part of it. As hard as he listened, he couldn't hear a single car. It felt like he was in a movie where the soundtrack had abruptly cut out. A pair of French doors rattled a few times and then opened. A tall, fat man wearing a seersucker suit strode into the terrace. Good afternoon, he said. Oh, you would be Quentin Coldwater. He spoke very correctly, as if he wished he had an English accent, but wasn't quite pretentious enough to affect one. He had a mild, open face and a thin, blonde hair. Yes, sir. Oh, fuck, yes, sir. Quentin had never called an adult or anybody else, sir, in his life, but suddenly it felt appropriate. Oh, fuck. Welcome to Brakeville College, the man said. I suppose you've heard of us. Actually, no, Quentin said. Well, you've been offered a preliminary examination here. Do you accept? Quentin didn't know what to say. He wasn't one of the questions he prepared for when he got up this morning. I don't know, he said, blinking. I guess I'm not sure. Perfectly understandable response, but not acceptable one, I'm afraid. I need a yes or a no. It's just for the exam, he added helpfully. Quentin had a powerful intuition that if he said no, all of this would be over before a syllable was even fully out of his mouth. And he would be left standing in the cold rain and dog shit of First Street, wondering why he seemed to feel the warmth of the sun on the back of his neck for the second just then. He wasn't ready for that, not yet. Sure, okay, he said, not wanting to sound too eager. Yeah, splendid. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.